The aid agencies haven't been able to get to most of the people yet, and they haven't even actually been able to assess how many people have been forced from their homes. There's an estimated figure of around 250,000 since August, but nobody really knows. Many have fled into the forest, some have fled across borders, some are simply in refugee camps that were old refugee camps that have kind of got new life from this movement of people. There are reports that the rebels themselves, the Tutsi-led rebels, are forcing people out the camp, saying it's safe to go home and they should return. It seems that this is possibly a move by them to preempt any kind of embarrassing pictures of large numbers of refugees needing help from aid agencies. But the aid workers and the United Nations are trying to put together a convoy to move up the road out of Goma towards these refugees sometime during Monday.
Now, the headlines to this story focus on a crisis in Congo, but the Foreign Secretary David Miliband has flown to Rwanda, hasn't he? What's its role in this conflict?
Well, the roots of this whole conflict go back to the 1994 genocide in Rwanda. At that point, a million Hutus fled across the border into what was then Zaire and later became Congo. Amongst those Hutus were the militia that had carried out the genocide, the army that had also been involved in the genocide, and some of the political leaders. And they used the UN-run camps as kind of basis to continue the war against the new Tutsi government in Rwanda. That in itself, 2 years later, prompted an invasion by the Rwandan government, the Rwandan army, to clear those camps. And really, that conflict continues today in one form or another. Now, a crucial part of that is the rebel Tutsi general, Laurent Nkunda. Now, Nkunda had been part of the Tutsi rebel army that had won in Rwanda against the Hutu extremists, and he then went over into Congo and join the conflict there. And Rwanda is perceived, because of its links with Nkunda, which go back quite some way, to have influence over him. Some people say they support him. Rwanda denies this, but there's absolutely no doubt that he retains ties to the military and the security establishment inside Rwanda.
He has been indicted as a war criminal, this is Nkunda. Has that affected his power at all?
It's been embarrassing for Rwanda, which is why that they've put some distance between them and him. At the same time, there is still a very large contingent of Hutu extremists in eastern Congo that control about 40% of the territory of north and south Kivu along the border there. And Rwanda sees him, Nkunda, as something of a buffer between them and these Hutu extremists. It's also true that all of these rebel groups, not just Nkunda's, have been involved in war crimes. Mass rape has become really a tactic of conflict in eastern Congo. Probably hundreds of thousands of women have been raped, stealing food from civilians, killing civilians, recruiting child soldiers. It's practiced by all of these groups, and including the Congolese army at times. So Nkunda's indictment is an embarrassment from Rwanda, but at the same time, it doesn't single him out as uniquely evil in this conflict.
Finally, Chris, Britain supplies nearly half of the total international aid to Rwanda. Does that give David Miliband any political leverage to put pressure on the country?
I think it does. I mean, Rwanda has become increasingly allied with Britain as time has gone by, partly because of this aid we're talking about, also because Britain is really offered it a lot of political and diplomatic support internationally, so much so that Rwanda is now applying to join the British Commonwealth, even though it was never a British colony. Recently, Rwanda's announced that it will switch its entire education system from French to English, and so it's very much aligning itself internationally in the Anglo camp with the Americans, but particularly I think with the British. So that does give Britain some leverage over Kagame. It's also true that Kagame is very close to the former British Prime Minister Tony Blair, who is expected to visit Kigali in about a week's time. And I think as Rwanda looks more to English-speaking East Africa and to Britain and America, and places itself firmly in that camp, I think that does give Britain a certain amount of diplomatic leverage, yes.